Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Doug Kelly, and joining me tonight, Mike Jones. Hey, Mike.
Hello, everyone. How's it going, Doug?
Everything is going excellent today. It is a good day and not to die, as the Klingons would say. Tonight, we have with us John Rossi. Of course, you all know John. He is at historic Jordan Springs tonight for the special broadcast of a live investigation. Plus, there are other people there that we're going to be talking with tonight as well. Sharon West will be her first time on. John, you there? Welcome to the program.
Well, thanks, Doug.
So tell us what's going on. Doug,
well, first of all, I want to just give you an example of what a dedicated investigator I am. I passed up dessert and coffee in order to be here with you.
Well, some people would call that not dedicated. They would call it crazy.
Yeah. And so one of the things I'd like, when once you start talking to Sharon, is ask her what dessert was. Because I'm curious, because the rest of the dinner that we had here tonight was absolutely fabulous. Part of the Jordan Spring experience in terms of these events that are open to the public is a four-course meal that you do before you actually do your investigation, and it's some very fabulous cooking.
Well, you know, the fuller you are, the better it is to see the spirits, right?
Well, that's true up to that point, I suppose.
Kind of in a food stupor.
And at this point, the actual investigation component with the guests hasn't started, but as of 3 o'clock this afternoon, Sharon's had a number of opportunities to investigate various parts of the building and had some experiences that perhaps she'll share with you. So far tonight, though, as far as spirit activity, this place is popping. So I'm looking forward to reviewing evidence later, because it really seems like there's a whole lot going on here tonight. So,
well, that's good.
You know,
you can give the speakerphone another try if you want to. We'll see how it works on this.
Okay, all right.
Connection's a little better.
Let's see here.
We'll test that out. Historic Jordan Springs in Virginia. And, of course, John's been there many times. Too many to count probably by now.
Yeah.
Are you on speakerphone?
Yeah, we're on speakerphone. How's that sounding?
That
sounds pretty good.
As long as you speak up real loud and close to it, it should be okay.
Okay, I'm sure that won't be a problem for Sharon, because you know how loud she is.
Oh, yeah, Sharon the loudmouth. Is she giggling? Come on, Sharon, give us a giggle.
She's smiling and thinking, what can I throw at John right now?
Well, let's talk to Sharon for a minute. Sharon, welcome. This is your cue to say, well, thank you, Doug.
I'm talking and you can't hear me.
Here, try that.
Okay.
Tell her to get up on it. You got to get up on the speakerphone.
Okay. You want to hold on? We have someone that's knowledgeable in these ways. We have Toni Wallace here, and she's going to amp up the sound.
Hi, Toni. I think that's your speaker volume that's going up because your vocals are not. So why don't you switch it back to regular phone and put Sharon on, and we'll get some of her perceptions and impressions and
Hi,
all
Dad.
Of that.
I'm on.
Sharon, you're on. Welcome.
Well, thank
First time
you.
On the program. She's always on the other side of the chat.
Right. I missed the
chat. Got on the yeah. Well, maybe somebody can open it up. So you've been there since about 3, John says.
Yes, uh-huh. And
so what do you think so far?
It's just a beautiful place. I didn't realize it was so large. But we've been on all the floors of it, and I was up in the attic for a while by myself and interacted with some of the spirits up there. And actually, when John was with me the first time, it was like I asked a question, and we think that we heard the little girl say it audibly. So it's the same little girl that's on the video that I have on my YouTube channel. And
So what did she say?
Well, I asked her if she would talk to me, and it was almost like, did you think that she said yes, or...
I couldn't make out what she said, but you got an immediate response.
Yeah, it was an immediate response. And so I was up in the attic just trying to get her to, you know, speak with me so that I could get some understanding about why she was there. And at one point, I saw a figure, just like a flash of something, go around the back of, they have a lot of things up in the attic there, and she was playing like hide and seek, which she loves to do. Mm-hmm. And so I just a flash, I couldn't see, you know, any detail or anything like that. But so it's been quite interesting.
So is that your only experience so far?
Well, down in the basement, I think that someone touched my hair, and also they might have touched my leg. You know, it's so subtle that you wonder, well, was it something else? You know, so, but I've been just asking some questions of the ladies that are down. What's the name of that?
In the carriage house.
In the carriage house. And there's like Civil War nurses and just really old time Victorian. Is it Victorian? And different levels of time down there. And so I think I got some good answers. I mean, I got an understanding of some things, and whether it's on the tape or not, I don't know. But we'll see when he reviews the evidence.
That's great.
Oh, yeah, we went
out. That's great. So, go ahead.
We went out on the front porch, and it was like there was people. I mean, it was full, you know, like they were sitting out on the veranda, maybe having tea or something at a certain time of day.
I think it was mint juleps.
Oh, yeah. He's saying mint juleps. But,
martinis.
And the dessert was was pudding. What kind of pudding was it? Oh, okay. It has little strawberries on top, so I thought I'd better throw that in. But anyway, we're going to be heading out again and seeing what we can see. And we went over into the grotto area, and it was like it just felt like a very sacred place. The Native Americans had that as a, it was like a spring there that they had for healing and things like that. So it was, you know, you could almost sense a presence there of them still keeping that spot. And So it's been very interesting.
Cool.
Well, that's great. So what's the plan for this evening? John says you guys haven't started the investigation yet.
They had had all the people lined up to go up in the other areas, and I'm not sure of the schedule. Maybe I better pass you back to John for that. I'll give you back to John for that part.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you again.
Hey, Doug. Right now what's going on
is
they're taking the guests up and doing a candlelight tour of the upper level of the building. And when they're done with that orientation, they're going to be bringing them down and we'll break them into groups. Basically, what we've got on board for them tonight is that we have investigators on four different floors, and all four of them are conducting four different types of experiments or types of equipment. And,
What type of experiments do you...
Okay, well, down in the pub, which is down in the basement of the building, we're doing some video feedback looping. Video ITC work. And then on the main level, we just have a setup where we have some closed circuit TVs in the ballroom, which, you know, as you know, we had some rather interesting activity just a couple of weeks ago in there. And the ballroom's pretty well covered in terms of cameras tonight, so perhaps we'll get something. And the investigator will explain, you know, the nature of the equipment and, you know, how we review it and, you know, the whole thing. And then they're going to walk across the hallway to the chapel. And in the chapel, we have the flare camera tethered to a large monitor so everyone can see what's on the...
That's great.
What, you know, showing up on the scope. Then on the second floor, they're going to be walking around just doing a normal mobile EVP session. Then on the third floor, we've got a full spectrum camera, and that's hooked up to a monitor as well. And then we have, in one of the rooms, we've got a camcorder going with trigger objects. And then we also have a setup where people can see a night vision camera that's hooked up to our night vision scope that's hooked up to a digital camera that we use for taking photographs in absolute darkness. So people get an opportunity to actually see, you know, all the equipment, you know, that's being used out in the field at this time in terms of investigating. And then some things that, you know, like the ITC experiment that's going on down in the pub is, you know, something that's really not being done much here in the United States, but over in Europe has actually got quite a following. So that's what we kind of got on store for everyone tonight.
Sounds like that's going to
sounds
be fun.
Good. How many people?
We have, 55 guests? 55
wow.
guests tonight.
That's quite a bit.
Yeah. And then at the end of the night, we'll do a debrief with everyone, and anyone that's still awake at that point, they're welcome to stay, and we'll play some of our EVPs that we've collected and show them some photographs that we've had from previous investigations here.
Oh, so how long is this going to last?
Well, my guess is probably it's going to be at least another 2 hours. More than that. Because we've added, normally we don't have the candlelight tour and stuff, but that's kind of a holiday or a Halloween tradition here, so that's stretching the event out longer than what we normally do. So I've got special person for you to talk to, Doug. I've got the one of the owners of Jordan Springs, Toni Wallace here. And I'd like you to, you know, chat with her and, you know, why don't you ask her to tell you some of her personal experiences here.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, here's Toni.
Hello, Doug.
Hi, Toni. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's quite a pleasure. Come on here. Sorry.
Yeah, it's good to have you. Of course, I got Mike here too. So
hello,
let
Mike.
Me ask you some questions.
Hey.
How long? how long have you been involved with Jordan Springs?
We've owned Jordan Springs for 10 years.
Wow, that's great. So you've had obviously some experiences there, huh?
Indeed, we have.
So let's start off with your most endearing experience, shall we call it?
Tell me about your work.
It actually just happened about 2 weeks ago. We were doing...
Are you on the speakerphone, Tony?
I am. You want me to come off?
Can you switch? Yeah, can you switch back to the handset? Please?
Yes, I'm back on the handset.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah,
there you go.
Much better, thanks.
Sorry.
Okay, so a couple of weeks ago you had a cool experience.
Yes, the John's team, Shenandoah Shadows, was here, and another team. And they were recording everything, and they decided that we were going to go into the ballroom for an EVP session. And we were all gathered around the table, and they were doing, I think it was a live, we were doing a streaming, web streaming session, and we were sitting there, and they were talking and asking questions, and all of a sudden, I looked up, and right straight in front of me, maybe about 30 feet away, was a softball-sized white solid light that moved from, and we have double, big, large double doors that go into the ballroom. It was a softball-sized light that was just above the doorknobs on the these big, large double doors that went from the left side of the left door all the way across, kind of bouncing a bit, and then just dissipated into the wall to the on the right side of the other door. And I had never experienced anything like that before. And fortunately, Frank, who was the lead investigator of the other team, also saw it. And we were both so taken back by it, and we quickly said, did anybody see that? And then John Rossi had asked us, you know, what it was we saw, or and we both went to describe it. And at exactly the same time, we both put our hands up and had the exact same size shape of what we saw to describe when John had asked us.
So how many people actually saw that?
Just two of us actually saw it, myself and Frank.
Okay.
Mm.
Wow.
I know, I saw,
how long
I saw
did it
your
last?
Expression.
I'm sorry, how long did it last?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ten, 15 seconds.
Cool. Go ahead, Mike.
That's a long time. I was going to say, I was watching the actual webcast when you were sitting next to Frank.
Yes.
And you know how you were talking about how you were simultaneously holding your hands up as far as the size?
Yes.
Well, from the webcast point of view, both you and Frank locked onto it, and I watched both your heads track it. I couldn't see it from the actual webcam, but I knew you guys were seeing something because your mouth started dropping open.
it did.
You couldn't believe what you were seeing.
We could not believe what we were seeing. I mean, it was and it caught us by surprise because – you know, we were just kind of staring out into the dark because the room was dark. And unfortunately, they had a video camera on the other side of us, you know, filming us.
Right.
And I wish it were almost, you know, facing the other direction, filming from the door, because it really would have caught it.
I was quite amazed at the whole thing myself. I was just like, I was on the other end of it kind of going, man, I wish I could see this. I wish I could see this. Because, you know, I talk to John about that place all the time, and I find it fascinating, as active as he tells me it is. And
it's just there's always so much going on.
Yeah, exactly. And that just blows me away that it's like that.
I mean, Colt and I will sit, Colt Nutter is the executive director, and we sit in his office late at night, and we're talking, and
and all of a sudden we will hear women speaking. I mean, just, you know, speaking in conversation. And it catches us so off guard because it's late, the doors are locked. We jump up and say, you know, my golly, who's in the building? Somebody's here. We go out, we look, there's nobody there.
You can't actually hear what they're saying?
We cannot make out what they're saying, but it's obvious they're talking back and forth to each other.
That's
and it's loud.
How often
does
that happen?
Oh, that's happened probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 times. It happened to John Rossi. We were all, John Rossi and I, you were in the room in the EVP recording session when that was being filmed, when we saw the orb. And the very next thing, we heard a noise out in the foyer. And then we looked up, and it was a split second. I mean, a split second. There was a noise. We looked up, and between the crack in the door, we saw a shadow pass by the door. One, I don't know who it was, got up. Jonathan from Adventure Myths got up and ran to the door, opened the door to look out to see who was making the noise, and there was nobody out there. And John Rossi saw it, I saw it, Frank saw it. I think that might have been on the recording also.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I think you guys were talking about that. So, what other kinds of experiences have you had at Jordan Springs?
Well, I have, where my office is located, it's off the library. So you would have to go through the chapel and then into the Lee Library, through the Lee Library, and come into my office. So where I sit, I'm pretty much removed from all of the noise and you know, the public. But I was sitting at my desk one evening, and I looked up, and I saw Colt's reflection walking toward my office in the glass doors, and then he turned around and went back. And I at that very moment, I kept yelling, "Hey, what do you want? What do you want? I'm in here." And then I picked up the phone and called into his office. He was actually sitting at his desk. It wasn't him.
Oh, wow.
But I'm
really
telling you, it was him in these glass doors.
Huh.
And then, of course,
that's amazing.
At Christmas time with the little, we were in the room when we have enormous Christmas decorations here. It's a big time here at Jordan Springs. And we were in one of the rooms called the Stonewall Jackson Room, and that we had decorations hanging from the chandelier. Probably about, I don't know, 26, 30 Christmas balls, 35 Christmas balls hanging from the chandelier, and there's no air moving in this room at all. We don't have any kind of forced air heat. Our heat is from radiators. So the doors were closed. We're sitting in the room. We're talking, you know, trying to get the little child that's in that room to communicate with us. And someone said, if you're in here, play with one of the Christmas balls or let us know that you're here. And the child, all of these balls were hanging now at different lengths from the chandelier, perfectly still, and one ball in the middle starts spinning and just kept spinning and spinning and spinning. And then I think it was like about 2 minutes this ball was spinning. And then, was it you, John? You said, somebody said, now,
there was a child that was holding a flashlight.
Yes, there was a little girl in the room that was holding a flashlight on these balls, and only that one was spinning. So it was very obvious what was going on. The little girl said, can you make it stop? And sure enough, it stopped immediately.
Wow. So how long after you...
And that really was my first real experience with a paranormal investigation, too. So I was, you know, I went into this thing as a skeptic. And, of course, you know, I'm 63. I'm sitting in a room with strangers. It's dark, and we're talking to ghosts. I got to tell you, it was not, you know, it was one of those
Sounds
weird
crazy.
Experiences for me. And I'm like, what am I doing here? And then, sure enough, this happens. I'm like, okay, got it. I'm in.
So how long after you purchase the property did these things start happening?
Well, you know, it's funny because they happened, I think they've always been happening. I just wasn't really tuned into it. When I look back and think about, you know, some of the things that have happened, now it, you know, now it starts to make sense to me. When 3 years ago, Colt had just come on board and he was dealing with a bride that wanted to have her wedding here. She asked, do you have anything like haunted weddings? And he said, oh, you know, no, we haven't yet. And he finished up with her, walked her to the front door, came back in the ballroom. He and I were standing in the George Washington dining room when before all the walls had been taken out. And he started to ask me, you know, has anything ever happened here? And I said, well, you know, I don't really, I mean, you know, not that I'm aware of. And he said, well, do you believe that this, it could happen? I said, no. And right at that moment, in the law library that was the room next to where we were, we heard this ball crash to the floor. And when we put our Christmas decorations up, we really wire them up, and it is, you know, we just don't have to run the risk of anything falling down. And the door to the to one of the bookshelves opened up, creaked open, and then this ball crashed on the floor. I mean, Colt and I have been in the ballroom where the two double doors, and they're big and heavy, and they're probably 4 or 5 inches thick.
Yeah, yeah.
They're very heavy doors that go into this ballroom. Well, it, they just opened up, and then they stayed open for a moment, and then they just closed. And he and I looked at each other like, okay, you saw that, right? I mean, you're always trying to get somebody else to confirm that you're not really a nut.
Of course, if you ask another nut, how good is that?
Exactly.
That's interesting. So you've got 55 people tonight to do the investigation and probably get some interesting stuff, I'm sure.
Yes, I'm sure we will. They are, you know,
someday when I grow up,
been...
I'm going to have to come up there.
I think you should. Come along.
I
we'll
should.
Have a special investigation for you.
All right.
Stay
Josh
all night.
Told me all that stuff, and I'm I'm chomping at the bit.
Well, it's active. I don't think John has ever been here that he didn't get evidence of some sort. Is that right, John?
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
It just.
I've never visited or had a meeting with you where there hasn't been evidence.
So every time he comes here, there's something that happens.
That's great. That's consistent.
Yes.
That's consistent. Well, great. So who else do you have there that's going to come on and talk to us? Or do you
I
have
don't
more
know.
Stories
I'll hand you back to John, and then he can see where else you would like to go from here, okay? And it's a pleasure
well,
talking
so
with you.
Thanks so much for coming on. Yeah,
thank you for this
you
opportunity.
Well.
Hold on.
Take care.
Thank you.
Hey, Doug.
Sounds like an interesting place to visit, man.
Hey, I keep telling you, you need to come up here because if you want to experience something, this is the place because it's like literally always happening here. Hey, I want to tell you something interesting. I mean, there's always interesting stuff going on, but I thought was interesting today was that Sharon was having was identifying the same locations that other psychics have in terms of who's there and how they're feeling and, you know, kind of what they're doing kind of thing, which, you know, it's just like that just continues to be the what happens here, you know.
So you get that consistency as well.
Yeah, you know, 87 rooms and people are coming to the same rooms and coming away with, you know, it's a Civil War era woman or Victorian era woman, and or there's a male here, or there's children and stuff. And again, you know, they're all picking the same places.
Would you give a nutshell background on Jordan Springs, where it is, what its claim to fame is for our listeners?
Okay, you know, I'm going to hand it back to Tony because she does that real well. And
okay.
Okay, here's Tony. Tony, give them a nutshell background on the history of
Jordan Springs. Okay,
yeah,
we have it documented back to 1549 when the Catawba Indians found the springs. And they returned here every year for their ceremonies. And then apparently, as it goes, the white settlers came along and took the property away. And in the 1700s, 1735, it became a part of the Littler Grant. And then in late 1700s, early 1800s, the Jordan family came along, and Branch Jordan was the first to purchase the property and built the first hotel that was completed in 1832, and that is a hand-cut limestone building, which still exists today, and we use that. That's a part of our the pub is in that building. What we use as the pub was actually the hospital during the Civil War, and the carriage house is also a part of that, and, of course, the upper levels were the hotel. The second hotel was completed in 1855, and that actually burned down in 1920. And the third hotel, which is still existent today and all handmade brick from this property, was completed in 1893, and that is the main building that we use. And that was also the monastery for the missionary servants of the Most Holy Trinity. When it was the hotel, the resort hotel in the 1800s, we had President Roosevelt visited here. We had General Robert E. Lee visited here and danced in the ballroom. And General Stonewall Jackson was here. And then it became a monastery for the missionary servants of the Most Holy Trinity and a teaching seminary. And then it was a drug and alcohol rehabilitation facility for children age 13 to 18. And then it sat vacant for 4.5 years, and then my husband and I purchased it. And so it sits on 237 acres, and we placed a historic overlay in perpetuity, which is the first and only one of its kind in Virginia. And today, you know, it's only been open to the public for the past 3 years, and because it's actually been closed to the public for the past 75 years.
Oh, wow. So what did you guys do with it the first 7 years you owned it?
Well, I own, I've actually been in the court reporting business all of my life, my life, for the past 38 years, and we develop legal software and litigation support software, and I do consulting and national public speaking. And we actually purchased the property with the intention of putting a legal conference and technology mm-hmm. training center here. And as time went on, people kept saying, gee, it's so pretty, I'd love to have a wedding here, it'd be like nice to have a birthday party, can I rent the property? And it just went on and on, and finally we just said, you know, let's just try it and see how the event center works. So here we are.
Mike, you have a question?
Yeah, I do, actually. I was talking to John, and some architectural history I wanted to ask you about. Is it they bake their own bricks on location for,
yes,
to build this
area? Yes, all of the
area?
Bricks for this third hotel were made here on this property.
So that entire house literally, that whole entire facility is literally made from those surrounding resources?
Yes, that is correct. And the lumber.
Wow. Amazing.
And all the limestone. They had all of this limestone is hand-cut limestone. And the building is 48,000 square feet. I mean,
oh,
if you
gosh.
Went to our website, you'd see what the size of the building is. The front, the veranda on the front, in the front of the building, is 3,600 square feet.
Oh, my gosh.
Why don't you
that's
tell
massive.
Us your website, your domain for our listeners.
It is www.historicjordan, J-O-R-D-A-N, springs.com. And we have a calendar, a historic calendar on there.
Well, that's great. Well, good. Interesting history there. Why don't you hand the phone back to John and we'll continue on.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
Thanks again for coming back.
Thank you.
So, Doug, don't you wish you'd come up on one of your invites up here?
Yeah, one of my men. Oh, I will. I'll get there.
Oh, and so, Tony's saying she's going to put you up and feed you. So.
We have spirits of all kinds.
Yeah, and she wants to point out they have, we have spirits of all kinds here.
Well, you know what? That sounds great, and I will certainly look forward to it. I think we're getting a little more activity here at the old homestead. Tonight, Tracy, my wife, gets home, and we went out and grabbed a bite, and she said, are you still inviting them things in? I said, yeah. She says, well, just a few minutes ago, I was at my desk, and I heard this loud sigh, and I thought it was you or my son, Michael, and neither one of you were around. You were both, you know, you were in your office. Michael was in his room, and, it was obvious, so she heard something, and I have informed any spirit entities around here that they best not wake her up, because she said that she will arrange her early demise to just go kick their ass if they do. So I wouldn't tangle with her. I wouldn't tangle with her. So what else is who else is there? What's the next person on the agenda, if any?
Well, you know, let me talk to Sharon for a minute, and I'll go find Colt, because he's an interesting person to speak to just in terms of his experiences. Okay? Hold on.
All right. Thanks.
Hi again.
Hi, Sharon. Hello. So John tells us you're quite the psychic and you're going to give us some 2012 predictions, right?
Well, not really. I know. I don't consider myself to be psychic, and I know that you say that I am, but I think I'm just a sensitive and can feel, impressions and various things. But I thought I got some good information in the carriage house. John and I went in there first, and when we left, it was like someone was there saying, don't go, don't go. And that's when I felt as though someone touched my hair. And I thought, well, I've got to go back there. And so I went in there and stayed for quite a little while and had a tape recorder. And just sat and listened, and I wanted to ask some really good questions, because I'm one who thinks that paranormal investigators kind of ask stupid questions sometimes, and they'll say, knock if you're here, and, that tells you absolutely nothing about anything, actually. So I'm sitting in here.
So what kind of questions did you ask?
Well, I started out, I tried to bring forward that one that had said, don't go. And so I started to ask questions, I said, why are you here? And the impression I'm getting from this woman was that she was saying, there's something I want to do. And so I'm saying, well, are you able to do this? And she says, no, I can't. I mean, it's sort of heartbreaking, to hear the frustration that these spirits have. And so I'm trying to get out of her how she, I said, sometimes you seem far away, and then sometimes you seem nearer to me. And I said, why is that? And she says, because she has to catch up. It's like she has to, and the picture that I got in my mind was like somebody swimming after a moving boat. And so they're trying, they have to catch up to us and make an effort to get close to us. And so sometimes they're not able to do that. But John has all my questions and everything on his recorder, so perhaps he can maybe even get an EVP or something from it. But I was just getting impressions from these spirits as to you know, how is it that they're there? You know, why would they ever want to stay in a certain spot? And this is some of the stuff.
Well, what was her, what's her frustration? Why can't she leave?
Well, I could hardly get that much out of her, but it was like she was so frustrated. You know, there was something she wanted to do. And so my theory on this is that the, you know, our life is to raise our energy up so they were able to just go on off into the next dimension. And sometimes, you know, we get cut off and we don't, at a certain energy level, so we're not able to leave this kind of the form of the physical so much. And so anyway, this is what I was trying to get out of these spirits, and I will continue to ask questions and try to formulate something so we actually know something, you know, after we get some answers. So, I see Colt is here now. So I'm
cool.
Going to pass the phone over to him and let him tell you his stories, okay? Thanks.
All right, thanks, Sharon.
Hello.
Hello, Colt Netter, is it? Executive Director?
Indeed.
Am I correct?
That is correct.
Cool, this is Doug, and I also have Mike here.
How you doing?
Hello. Thanks for having me.
How's it going?
Must be some latency going on. So, Colt, thanks for joining us tonight. You've been with Jordan Springs now about 3 years, so I hear?
Yes. We started the Event and Cultural Center 3 years ago, and that's when I came on board.
And so, you know, what was your attitude toward ghost spirits and so forth when you started?
Well, I certainly was definitely curious about the whole building when I first saw it. The first time I stepped onto the property, of course, you look at the grandeur of it and you wonder about the history from the very get-go. And for months, I was at the estate and had always wondered if there was ever any activity, but had never actually asked about it. And it was about a month after I came to the estate, we had a couple that was looking to get married here, and they asked if we had any experiences or if they could have a haunted wedding. And Tony mentioned that she told you all the story about that was our first experience at the estate.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was something that we got to experience together. But other events that we've had on the property have really, I'm a skeptic. Even today, I consider myself a skeptic. And when we do tours and things like that at the property, I tell them that. But there are definitely those things that have happened here that you just can't explain away. And there's definitely something more going on than meets the eye.
Well, what's your most interesting experience to date?
John asked for me to share one of the most recent stories that we had happened here at the estate.
Mm-hmm.
During the large snowfall, one of the two that we had earlier this year, we had a wedding that weekend. And it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and the owners had left. And the building is 48,000 square feet total. And, of course, there's the main staircase that the public use, but then there's also a service stairwell that goes up the backside of the building. And it goes all the way from the pub level in the what would be the basement, if you will, all the way up to the third floor. And the building is heated by a four-chamber boiler system, and we obviously regulate temperature very much in a building this large. And I remembered that they were going to use that lower-level area where the pub and the carriage house is, and the heat was turned down. So I went down, and it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and as I said, the owners had left at about 1 o'clock, and I was adjusting the heat, and I heard very loud footsteps going up the service stairwell. And my first thought was not that I was scared, but rather who's in the building. And so I followed the footsteps up to the main level, which the only place you can go once you reach that level is either into the kitchen, up to the second floor, or out into the parking lot. Well, as I mentioned, it had already been snowing, and the owners had left about an hour before, and so the ground was completely covered. Their tracks were covered. And I checked the kitchen door. That's locked, which it's locked with a master key that only the owners and I have. And I went up to the second floor to see if they followed the service steps up any further, and that was locked as well. So I came back down, and there were no footprints in the snow out through the parking lot, and that's the only direction those footsteps could have gone.
Wow.
Interesting.
some of the other events. I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Some of the other events that we've had around the property, we've had books fly off the shelves in the library on at least 3 different occasions. From time
to
time,
did you tell them to pick them back up?
Well, I thought it was the staff. The very first time it happened, I actually saw the book come off the shelf, and it opened and landed face down out in the middle of the floor. And it was a shelf of law books, and this particular book that came off the first time was a law dictionary. And so I picked the book up to see what page it had opened to,
uh-huh.
to see if there was any significance, and I couldn't identify anything. And to this day, I wish that I had marked that page, because I get requests all the time to see what page it was. And I told that story quite often in our tours. And one day there was a book laying on the floor that had actually turned off a set of our Christmas trees. It was around Christmas time, and it had laid on a six-way and turned the switch off. And I thought one of the staff was playing a joke. And so in our staff meeting, I addressed it and said, I want to know who did it, who put this book on there. And none of them knew anything about it or would lay claim. And I put the book back on the shelf, and a few weeks later, the same thing happened again, except this time the binding on the book was broken. And I know our staff are sometimes mischievous, but they would never damage property.
So it wasn't open the second time or third time?
No, the second or third time, they were both closed. The first time it opened, and that was the odd thing, that it landed face down, because gravity would suggest that if a book's going to fall off a shelf, it's going to land on its spine. But this book opened and landed page side down.
So on the second and third, was that the same book?
Truthfully, I don't recall. I believe they were different books, but a lot of those, because I just put the first one back on the shelf and it's a series of dictionaries,
mm-hmm.
They're rather difficult to tell apart, even at a glance.
Okay.
But there's been a lot of activity in that particular wing of the estate, which is now the ballroom, and from time to time we do ballroom dance lessons, and Toni had mentioned that she also told you the story about the doors opening, and that was probably mm-hmm. one of the biggest ones that I went on a witch hunt, if you will, of trying to recreate that to disprove it. And I went out and tried to open the front doors and try to get the wind to push the doors open, and I really spent quite a bit of time trying to recreate it, and I could not make those ballroom doors so much as move, much less open as they did and then close back on their own.
Wow. It's amazing.
Interesting. A lot of cool stuff happening there. That's where we need to go.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, we.
Yes, it is.
Love to have you.
Well, thanks so much for talking to us. We appreciate your time. You guys have a great night.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Yeah, I look forward to meeting you sometime. If you'll give the phone back to John.
So, Doug, don't you wish
can
you
we
came
have
up
John
here?
Back?
Yeah, you know, this is the kind of place.
Some minutes left.
You know, if someone was a skeptic, if they came up here and like stayed here for like 30 days, I think they would leave with a very different belief system.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And obviously, there's certain areas of the facility that have more activity than others, correct?
Well, yes and no. First of all, this place is just like pretty much everywhere you go, there's stuff. But there's been certain areas that, you know, there continuously seems to be activity at a level that lends itself to being captured, you know, either by audio or
uh-huh.
perhaps video. So, you know, we've been focused on that. But the reality is, you know, we've probably been here, I don't know, 35 times in the last 2 years, you know. And we haven't done all the rooms yet. You know, we haven't covered the whole building yet at this point. Because, first of all, there's 87 rooms. And there's just so much stuff. And, you know, a lot of times we come in here with a plan to do one thing. But then basically you get this paranormal slap in the face as you're setting up, and then you totally divert to something very different because something's presenting, you know?
Right.
And the other thing that, you know, we're going to start doing more of is we want to start doing more work on the grounds, because there's all kinds of activity on the grounds. And I know a lot of investigators shy away from doing outdoor work because, it's more complicated because you have pretty much no control over your environment, and you know, there's just it's just a lot harder to get clean evidence. But there's a lot of stuff going on these grounds.
There's undoubtedly graves around as well, right? Unmarked graves.
Well, you know, in theory, you know, when the war was over, they dug everyone up and they put them in the local Civil War cemetery. But, you know, we know how poor record keeping was during the Civil War. And how many times did Winchester change hands? You know, Winchester changed hands 75 times. So this was either a Confederate hospital or it was a Union hospital. So, you know, the occupants kept changing. So, you know, you just got to wonder, you know, how good the records were under those kind of circumstances. And so, you know, we've had psychics out on the grounds, and they've identified whole areas where they're identifying that there are, in fact, graves and stuff.
Well, that happened to you, right, that it was verified or at least validated by another
person? Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Person.
Evidently, I discovered a Union soldier grave, and another psychic was walking, and we hadn't told him anything about it. And this was a couple months after I'd identified it. And, you know, and I was so convinced it was there that we actually, you know, took measurements from, you know, key, like, landmarks so we could know exactly where it was. And this psychic walked to the exact place and says, stops, pauses, and says, there's a Union soldier buried here. And it's just like, you know, when stuff like that happens, I'm just, like, awed. Because, you know, I just don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, very interesting.
You know, on our last investigation, two of the investigators were out doing some work on the Devil's Backbone, which is this unique geological formation that's here at Jordan Springs, which is the only one of its kind in North America. And they discovered a tombstone that no one knew about. And so, you know, there's just continues to be things that, you know, we're finding here at all different levels.
I think Mike's got something to...
I was going to ask, are you guys specifically focused on going after the ballroom as far as trying to capture evidence? You said you'd brought your DVR system in and actually set it up.
Yeah, we've got three cameras covering the ballroom, and the investigator in there is, you know, going to essentially do a video version of EVP work and see if we can get anything. But that ballroom area is, in fact, one of the areas where there tends to be a lot of phenomena, and, you know, there's PK activity in there. Now, is it human-generated or is it spirit-generated? You know, that's kind of the, you know, that's the million-dollar question. But there is PK activity there. I mean, you know, I saw it. I saw this one ornament out of 35, I mean, just spin. And it did it for 2 minutes. And when this child asked the spirit to stop spinning it, it immediately stopped. So, and, you know, no one touched it. So, you know, was that a ghost that stopped it? Or was that, like, the collective thoughts of 10 people watching it? I don't know. But, you know, it was phenomena of some sort that, you know, wasn't one of these kind of things like, you know, you caught something out of the corner of your eye or anything like that. You know, this was something that everyone is watching it occur for probably over 2 minutes.
Wow.
So
that would
be
intense to me. I said that would be totally intense watching something like that and see it stop.
Start and stop, actually.
Yeah. That's the other thing that's unique here is, you know, we've got residual energy type events that occur because, you know, as Sharon was telling you about the front porch and the people with the mint juleps or the tea or whatever, you know, that happens every day from about 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Now, if we go out there right now, there might be a spirit or two. But when you go out between 4 and 6 o'clock, it's like being in a rock concert. You are surrounded by all kinds of folks, and you don't really feel like you want to sit down in the wicker furniture because it really has the feeling that you'd be sitting on somebody.
Wow.
Now, I've tried to communicate with the spirits out there, and I'm pretty sure that this is, in fact, a very intense residual type haunting that occurs during those times, because none of the other psychics that have been here over the years either has been able to actively communicate with someone there. So, and in other locations, I mean, the spirits are pretty chatty, so I think that that's what's going on there.
So I'm assuming that you are going to give everyone kind of the results of the investigation tonight on Sunday night during Informal Paranormal.
Well, if we get some stuff that we can that's obvious, but you know, as you know, how long it takes to review evidence.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that we're going to be through our evidence by Sunday, because you know, for me, for every minute of audio that I do, I have about 7 minutes of review time. So. You know, it's a very time-consuming task if you do it correctly.
So, do you have anything in particular on slate for Sunday night, or that you'd like to announce, or is it gonna?
Well, you know, not that I'm hoping for this, but you know, there is the potential that tomorrow night, when Sharon and I go to the sweat ceremony down at this location that is also very haunted and has a lot of Native American-related spirit activity, that she may be abducted by a skinwalker. And I'll definitely be talking about that tonight, and I hope I have some photos to accompany that. But, you know, so, you know, there's that whole aspect that, you know, we'll also be talking about what goes on there, because at those events there's also, you know, it's spiritual in nature, but there is definitely some paranormal activity occurring as well, so we'll hopefully have a lot to talk about for Sunday night.
Well, that sounds good. Now, coming up next Thursday night, about a week, we have Weird, Scary, and Unusual with James Willis. He is founder of the Ghosts of Ohio, and he's been spending for the last 25 years involved in the strange and the spooky. He's also co-author, contributing author to 11 books, including Weird Ohio and Weird, Scary, and Unusual. So we'll have him on Paranexus Universe Thursday, November 4th at 9 p.m. Eastern. Also, don't forget to join John and Mike for Informal Paranormal this Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern. John, I hope you guys have a good investigation tonight. See some interesting things.
All right, and I'll try not to use Sharon as skinwalker bait tomorrow night. I'm going to really try and, you know, be a better man. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think that's going to work.
Well, we can only hope, right? That didn't think that was.
Yeah. Well, we thank you for joining us tonight. Please extend our thanks to Sharon, Tony, and Wolf, and hope you have a great evening. Thanks to Mike Dew for joining me this evening, co-hosting, taking care of the switchboard.
All right, good night, everyone.
No problem.
Okay.
All right, good night, John. And we appreciate those who listen to us live tonight, as well as those who are listening to the archive. Please join us for all of our shows. And if you like our shows, please leave a comment, if you would, on the page, letting us know what we can do to improve. We always want to improve. If you have any guest ideas, we would love to hear those as well. And if you haven't visited Paranexus.org, please do so. Even if you have, please do so. Paranexus is a nonprofit trade association for anomalous researchers involved in parapsychology, hauntings, ufology, cryptozoology, pretty much all anomalous type phenomena. And it's a great place to share and learn and grow. So we invite you to visit Paranexus.org. Mike, thanks a lot for being with me tonight.
No problem.
And we will listen to you on Sunday night. And again, hope everybody has a great night. Until the next time, be well. Take care. Good night.
Night, everyone.